Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Divine Connections and happy Wednesday. It's Lynn Bleasdale here with you tonight, and I hope I'll be joined by Ryan Dragna and Jody Higgins, but we're waiting on them. So I'm just going to tackle this topic. My two co-hosts are actually better. They have more experience with this kind of work. Jody, I know, works with the Glass Paranormal Association in Wisconsin. She's in Michigan. And so she does a lot of this work herself. And I think Jody, if she comes on, we'll get her to tell about an attachment she just had recently. So tonight we're talking about entities, spirits, and ghosts. Oh my. And how do we deal with attachments? So I think we want to look first at what attachments are. And spirit attachment has been known about by mediums and psychics for a very long time. It's just now becoming a very popular subject. They say maybe because there's an increase in people doing the paranormal investigations, but also it's been said too that over the last few decades, I guess, the veil is thinning a lot between the two worlds. And we're finding that a lot more people are developing their spiritual and their psychic abilities. So I think it's kind of a dovetailing of the two things. There's more investigation, but there's also people finding out that they too are able to connect and make the communication. Basically, more people are talking to the dead. A spirit attachment is basically what it says it is. It's a living person has the energy or the spirit of a dead person or an entity attached to them. They're parasitic ones, some are malevolent, some are benign, and there's some where spirits have attached to people and sort of ascribed talents to them, so giving them a talent for art, music, writing, something they hadn't manifest before. So that's kind of a rarer form of it. But in most of the cases, attachments can be kind of frightening and disturbing and unpleasant for people. So the first thing you want to do if you think you may have an attachment is get a checkup. Make sure it isn't something physical, because very often the fatigue or the it could be diet, you know, or it could be lack of sleep, could be stress doing it to you. Make sure you must rule out any physical problems that might be causing this. Hi, hon.
Well, I'm glad to see you. Jody.
Hi there. I'm really glad to hear you. So we were just talking about spirit attachments, and I was just saying about the first thing you have to do is rule out physical causes, right? The weird feelings you might be having could be a virus, could be diet, lack of sleep, all that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone else on with us?
No, it's just you and me, kid, but I think we can...
Okay.
I was just telling the audience about your work with Glass Paranormal in Michigan. And,
I was wondering...
Yeah, if you wanted to share some of the, so you know a little bit about this phenomenon, attachment. So if you want to carry on and just tell a few stories about you recently had to, three people had to help you get rid of that one?
Yeah, I've never had anything like this. And I did have a physical issue with pain in my shoulder about, I would say three months ago. And a friend of mine did energetic surgery on it from another location, which was really odd. He's an energy healer. And he did go in and work on my shoulder. And unbelievably, one of the things he asked is that I talk to him while he was doing this work. And he would ask me, what are you feeling? What are you feeling? Well, he knows the human anatomy in depth. And so he would poke around on my shoulder, and it was my right shoulder with the pain, and I could feel him doing things in my shoulder. And then he's like, what do you feel now? And I was like, it's kind of weird. It went to my left shoulder. And he said, no, that's good because I'm working on your left shoulder. So, you know, the fact that he's hundreds of miles away, and I'm in Michigan, so I'm in lower Michigan near Detroit. He's in the Upper Peninsula. He's working on my shoulder, right? That's really a cool thing. So
it
I was having pain in the shoulder, and he really actually healed it up, right? So what happened recently, I had an experience in my house, and this is where it sort of seemed to start. I have a bedroom with two doors that go into it. One enters from the kitchen, one enters from the hallway. And I was in the hallway, and I sort of stepped over to the side and had this feeling of bumping into somebody who was very big, because whoever this was as tall as the ceiling in my house. And by someone, I mean a spiritual someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt so realistic that I was like, oh, I wanted to say, oh, excuse me. Like I bumped into somebody because I wasn't paying attention or something. And I thought, oh, well, that's odd. And Maggie started kind of barking and growling at him because he went into the bedroom. At this point, I didn't physically see him. I just felt him. And I said, oh, Maggie, just leave him alone for a minute. Let him be. He'll leave. She went to the other door and started barking and growling. So I was fine. And about 2 weeks later, I went to Petoskey to do readings at the Little Traverse Bay Paracon near Petoskey. And when I was there, I spent the first night with my sister, and we walked two houses down to check out a home that she has always felt sort of creepy about. And I told her what I felt about it, and we went back and I did my event, and then I was back at her house Sunday evening. So Sunday evening, I was up in the middle of the night using the restroom, and I thought somebody was coming towards the door. I could hear them, although now when I say hear, I'm not sure I was hearing them. It was like I could sense somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I coughed a little to let them know I was in the bathroom, and it was like they rushed the door and stopped short. And for me, it made me catch my breath a little bit. I was like, because it almost felt like they're trying to scare me. Well, what had happened in the last few days before that, the first night I was on my sister's couch, and my shoulders started to ache. And that was the night we checked out the house. The next two nights I was in a hotel, and I attributed it to the bed because my shoulder was really sore, and I felt the bed was very soft.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that last night in the hotel was a real doozy. On her couch. It was really sore,
right.
And that's the last night that the guy showed up. So, well, I say guy. It did feel male to me, whatever it was. I thought it might be one of my nephews.
Right, yeah.
But within a week, this was last week on, I want to say, Wednesday, I went to a massage therapist to see if they could work on this. And she made a comment about me being depressed. And I was like, no, I'm not depressed at all. But that evening, it was really bothering me that she said that. And then I woke up in the morning and I heard the word in my head, attachment. And I took note of it. And then I heard it in the afternoon again. And through the day, I was feeling like, and for the last week, I had felt physically heavy, but it was getting worse. I was achy, I was sore, and my shoulder was really bugging me. So in the evening, about 9:30, I called our co-host, Ryan Adragna. And I said, Ryan, I said, there is something wrong. I think I have an attachment. And I said, can you please work on me? My shoulder is just... it's an agony, you know, like it's hurting down my arm. I don't know what to do. And so he worked on me, and he did get an answer that there was an attachment. When I woke up in the morning, I felt better, but it wasn't completely gone. I couldn't lift my arm, and when I did, it hurt. And there was like a catch in the shoulder. I don't know how to explain it. But emotionally, I felt much better. I felt much lighter. So The next day I was at Michigan Psychic Fair doing readings, and there was a girl there who was doing a little massage, and she does energy work. So I asked her to work on it again because it was, you know, a little sore and achy. And she's like, ooh, you got something. You got a little hitchhiker here. And she was pulling off some icky dark stuff. And it was still acting up. It wasn't until Sunday evening that I had my third healing from a shaman that everything completely went away. And do you know, he took me outside because he did not want to release whatever it was inside the hall where we were at doing readings, because there were many people there. It could have attached to anybody. And he used tuning forks. And as soon as he was done, I could lift my arm without a problem. It was gone.
Tuning forks. Frequency.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've just had Ryan, just as you were talking about Ryan, Ryan joined us. It was magical.
It was magical. Hi, Ryan.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
How are you,
honey?
I'm doing fabulous.
Are you fabulous?
I'm not doing fabulous. I'm just doing fabulous. Whatever. I just thought I'd mix it up tonight. But you know, I guess the thing of it is, when people are dealing with ghosts or stuck energies in the fourth dimension, it's like stepping on a wad of chewing gum on your foot, on the bottom of your shoe. Sometimes you can get it all off. Sometimes you can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like you're walking around. It's like, oh, damn it. Sometimes the chewing gum will rip off completely. Sometimes it leaves shards of energy. And that's something that not a lot of people quite understand. It's that these little buggers, it's like they've got these roots into your energy field, and 98% of them is gone, but when you pull that sticking gum off, you know what happens when you pull that chewing gum off the bottom of your shoe? It stretches, and you have to get a toothpick, and you have to clean it out, right?
Wow.
And it's like, okay, I got 98% of it off, but there's this 3%, this 2% that's still there, you know? You know, and I agree with you, Jody. Yeah, you know, I might have gotten some of that bugger off of you, but it wasn't all gone. And probably a couple sessions later, it would have been gone. But sometimes you have to use different tools or techniques to get it completely off. Even throw a little gasoline on there and use a scrubbing tool. But there's you have to be creative. You know, and
well, and I feel a little like, and maybe you want to check in with us. I feel a little like I could use another session yet.
Yeah, I'm not. To be honest with you, I have to tune into your energy field. I want you to be able to walk without vertigo, to be able to just feel centered and not feel icky, not have that bipolar-ish syndrome, because when a lot of people have attachments, they're not their self. I mean, you know, it's like someone saying, well, you know, when Joe drinks, he's a mad drunk. There's a reason for that. I mean, that's because ghosts take advantage of people who are intoxicated, and they're able to seep into those energy fields and take advantage of that split personality. And they're exactly right. They're like, yeah, he's not himself when he drinks, or she's not herself when, you know, she's going through a different mood. So it all depends. But
I think most people, you know, I hope most people realize that this isn't something to be afraid of. You know, we are very protected by our angels and our guides that work with us. And I'm a little bit surprised anything got through, because I am, you know, I really truly trust who works with me. But I also think the fact that I do a little bit of work with the paranormal team leaves me also a little bit open. And I've been learning Reiki, which opens up your energy for a bit because you're doing so much growth. So you and I probably should schedule another session, I think.
Well, yeah, and there's and the dark energies, I'll call them dark energies, or I'll call them negative energies, whatnot, from the fourth dimension, because that's where they all reside. We're in the third, they're in the fourth, and you have the light, and you crossed over to the fifth. You go all the way up to the 12th dimension, which is source energy. But anyways, we're concerned about with the fourth dimension. And these are all buggers. They're like termites. They're like millipedes. They're like centipedes. They like little mice. It don't take much for them to squirrel their way in and mess with you. They look for a little bleep or a tear. I mean, they're everywhere around us. It's that guy flipping you off. He's angry. A hitchhiker, it's like leapfrog, you know? And
yep.
next thing you know, you're like, what is wrong with Mary? I mean, she's just not being herself. And it's been going on for 6 months and that's what happens. And you've got that split personality going, and it's crazy. It's just I got a headache now talking about it, but callers just need to be cautious about here's the thing. Because Halloween's coming up here, I'll just say this. The misconception here is that most ghosts or dark energies or dark entities or negative energies or whatever you want to call them aren't in cemeteries. Most of them are in hospice care units or hospitals, okay? It's where people go to die. That is a fact. I walked into a hospital a couple months ago. I was like, oof, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I was like, man, this place is so heavy. It literally is so heavy, the atmosphere. Then a couple of years ago, I was in the hospice care facility for my relative. I'm like, damn it. I couldn't wait to get out. I was like, man, this is even too much for me to handle because I can feel all the negative energies in there. It's like, man, you have people that are passing away, and they're like, oh, what the hell just happened? I don't know. I'm going to hang around this place and see if I can bug someone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and even prisons. Prisons are the same thing. When people go to prison, they go there. Sometimes they go there to die. And so hospice cares, hospitals, and prisons, not a good place to be. I wouldn't want to be there. Besides, I don't look good in orange. Well, you know, I mean.
A nice burnt orange would be okay on you.
Yeah, I encourage the callers and the listeners to just there's three crystals you can wear, the black hematite, the black the black tourmaline, and the clear quartz are good protections against that stuff. You know, especially if you have a torn energy field and you don't know it. 9 times out of 10, they're going to be absorbed by those stones, and they're not going to have a direct impact on you. But those stones do need to have maintenance. They do need to be saged, smudged every once in a while. So yeah, Jody, I don't, for you, for example, I don't know how you got the hitchhiker on you. As much as you ground and clear yourself and you have protection, it doesn't take much. A little tearing your energy field may seep right in. Because you as a light worker, think of yourself as on that hot summer night at midnight, everyone's cold, someone lights a lamp, and guess what happens? All the bugs and all the moths go to that lamp, right?
Yep.
And And you're that lamp. You're that light worker. And everyone and their brother from the fourth dimension is attracted to that. It goes for all of us, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to get that protection from Archangel Michael to surround yourself to say, hey, bug off.
Exactly. And, you know, I usually do work with Michael, so I was surprised. But, you know, I think...
Yeah.
It can happen. We're not, you know, above it. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring up the idea of also intense, like drug use and alcohol use can also open that to entities, but also intense emotions, allowing stress to overwhelm you. I remember seeing one individual. I've only ever seen this once in my life, but it reminded me of a passage from Romeo Dallaire's book, Shake Hands with the Devil. You might remember Mr. Dallaire as he was in Rwanda in 1994 when the Hutu and the Tutsis began to fight. And he describes the look in one person's eyes as having the eyes having gone completely black. And I've seen this once before, and I describe it as looking like somebody else was driving. But there was no pupil. There was no iris. It was just black, this black eye. Now, it could have been a physical thing where the irises were so wide open because of the emotion this person was going through. But it really felt like there was another energy present. And it scared the dickens out of me, boy. I held it together because I know these things feed on fear. So I pulled my warrior energy together and stood fast. But afterwards, I was like a bowl of jelly. I felt like I'd been looking into an abyss, you know?
That's very scary.
It was scary. This person, I'm happy to say, is well and happy today, but this guy was just so emotional. He was so full of rage. And the look in the eyes was like that was an absent look, like his spirit was not there and something else was there. And it just, whoa, you know. Talk about dangerous work or what? I guess I don't want to say possession because I think that's a very rare phenomenon, but I think this person was temporarily absent or something. But,
I wouldn't put that past that, Lynn, because there are people out there. I mean, when they have a weak personality, or they're not strong in their own footing, when they're not grounded, that's like putting a worm on the hook and throwing it out in the water. Them dark entities out there love that. I mean, it's like a buffet. They're like, oh, I'm gonna feed off your energy. I'm gonna take over your body. And I know that Hollywood has portrayed that, but a lot of it isn't so Hollywood. A lot of it's very real. There's very real people out there that have some very hardcore attachments to them, and I will go out there and say that they are possessed because it is what it is. You know, there is a John Wayne Gacy. Not to name names, but there is a John Wayne Gacy attached to that person, and they aren't themselves.
No, not at all.
You know, when the people like John Wayne Gacy, and I don't know where his spirit is right now, but I don't want to be judgy-wudgy, but say, for example, I'll just pick out a serial killer's death, like that guy who blew up the Oklahoma City bombing, Timothy McVeigh, back 20 years ago or whatever. You know, when he died, they asked him, what's he going to do when he dies? He goes, I'll just improvise. Talk about a dark energy, a dark entity. I mean, this guy just had no remorse. So he died, his soul just went to go looking. His soul didn't care about going to the light. He can give a shit. He just was looking for another babe.
Yep, looking for another body to hijack.
Exactly. And I'll stress this to the people out there, that just because a person dies, they don't die. Their consciousness is still intact. It's like, okay, I'm going up to the gas station to fill up my truck. I'm angry, mad, upset. I just killed someone, whatever. Gas is $2.99 a gallon. Next thing I know, I get shot in the head. I'm dead. Well, I don't care. I'm still angry, mad, upset, and pissed off. I'm still here. I just lost my physical body, and I can see my body in the truck. You know, blood's everywhere, and I'm just going to go and merge into another human being who's vulnerable. I'm going to find that because some people have protections over their energy field, other people don't. And I'm going to find that vulnerable energy field and merge into them and just have a heyday.
You know,
Well,
I was just going to say, you know, you mentioned Hollywood, and it made me think of something interesting that I wanted to share with you. Are you familiar with who John Zaffis is?
John Zaffis.
Yeah. So he's on one of the paranormal programs on Destination America. The program that he hosts is called The Haunted Collector. But he was on a program called A Haunting, and of course, Hollywood just buffed up the story so much. This woman had gone out on a ghost hunt in a cemetery, and she was very familiar with ghost hunting or, you know, investigating homes, part of a team professionally. And in her experience in the cemetery, she brought on an attachment. She was actually possessed. It was destroying her life. And even to a point where they showed, of course, in this program, it's very blown up, but they show her driving somewhere with her eyes on her son in the passenger seat the whole way, never looking at the road. Very scary story. Well, the story ends with her going through an exorcism and being in a chair that levitates, of course, on TV, 2 to 3 feet off of the floor. So I'm like, oh, come on, there's no way. Come on, really? So when I saw John, I saw him at a paranormal conference in August, and I was like, I want to ask you about something. I saw this program that you were on, and you talked about this experience. Did that really happen? And his answer was yes. He said it wasn't like it happened on the TV program where it was so high, but he said the chair came a good 8 inches up off of the floor. So they can absolutely 100% attach to people, get embedded completely, be very evil, and destroy your life. You have to be really careful about, you know, what you're doing, who you're doing it with, and, you know, how you're managing yourself in any of these situations. And even like Brian is saying, drinking leaves you open. I very rarely even have a glass of wine just because of that. Because I don't want my body to be hijacked.
Yeah. Or if you are going to drink when you're happy, you know, drink for like a celebration. Don't drink when you're depressed or bummed out.
I'm never depressed really. So.
Yeah.
Good.
And for those situations where you just illustrated there, talking about the chair levitating. You know, these ghosts, they feed off of fear. It's like going to the Sunday morning buffet after church, you know. They fear is their food and drink. And so, you know, the more fear you feel, they're feeding off that, the more powerful they become. And in my opinion, that's what feeds them to do this stuff. You know, what you're talking about, Jody, it's like, okay, you know what, this guy, I'm scared the shit out of this guy, and I know he's scared, and that's just feeding my appetite, so I'm able to do more stuff. Now, if this guy was like, okay, dude, go pound sand, I'm going to get healed, and we're going to get this thing taken care of, goodbye, good luck, wish you well, go, it'll probably die off. It'll probably shrivel up and die off because it's like, okay, this guy isn't buying this. I'm going to have to go find some other energy to feed off of because this guy is no longer full of fear. And it's not working. They need fear to survive. It's food for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I tell
really
people.
Does.
I said, you know what? If you're afraid of ghosts, and what 4-year-old is not afraid of ghosts? I mean, they're all because it's you know that the 4 to I mean I misspoke 4 to 7-year-olds, you go to the Halloween tradition and whatnot, and you know they're full of fear. And ghosts feed off the fear. They don't feed off light. And that's why they're ghosts because the light's there. They just choose to ignore. They just choose to ignore it. They want the fear to feed them. It's their dinner, their breakfast,
mm-hmm.
and their lunch.
If
you give them nothing but love, they're going to just shrivel up and go away.
mm-hmm. Good thing, too.
It's hard to say, get up in the morning and say, I love you, Casper, but please stop tickling my toes when I'm sleeping. You know?
I don't.
Okay, Casper the ghost, that was fun, but I really need to get some sleep now, so go bug off. I don't know.
Move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You very much have to claim a space in your home that you ask them to give you privacy in that space, you know, your bedroom or wherever. Sometimes you don't want them kibitzing in the kitchen, so you keep them out of there, too. So,
and Lynn, you bring up a good point there because actually, truth be told, the spirit in the human body actually has dominance over a spirit with no body. So we actually have more control over them than we think we do. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're the players. I mean, a spirit in the human body is very dominant. And if we think towards the love and light, then so it is written, so it is done. I mean, it's like, whatever, dude, just go fuck off. I don't have time for this. And 9 times out of 10, they ought to listen. If they don't, then we get we hire in the experts and say, okay, something's going on here. And like you alluded to earlier, Jody, they're sometimes the energies are so intense that they just don't say go bug off. You need help. They need help. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've cleared some energies, some ghosts from people, a lot of ghosts actually in the past 3 years, and some buggers. Just like that sticking gum, chewing gum underneath your shoe. Sometimes just saying go bug off doesn't work. You have to go through three or four different exercises to get that gum off. Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you can put it in the freezer and then it just breaks right off.
True.
Oh, wait,
that's true.
That's hints from, Loser Life Hacks. But I was wondering, too, like, what are the signs? Like, if people are wondering, do I have an attachment? Does my friend or loved one have one? What are the signs people can look for after, of course, they've had a health check? Make sure it's not a physical thing. You think it is spiritual. What are we looking for? What kind of symptoms are we looking out for with people?
In my experience, it's been the split personality. It's been the, I don't want to give it the medical label of bipolar because that's a broad net to cast. But it's she's having a very very good day today. Next moment she snaps or there's something that triggers it, and she's yelling, she's screaming, or the old expression of going back to the alcohol thing or the drugs, whatever, it doesn't have to be alcohol. They're not themselves when they're in an altered state of mind because that's where the the ghosts come out and make their presence known, you know. And James von Prague will back that up in his book, Ghosts Among Us. He's like, I walked into some bars in London and whatnot, and he goes, there are a million ghosts in them bars. That's where they like to hang out. Because the alcohol reduces their energy field, you know? And so that's what that's what people can look for. And, you know, those who are, and I don't know what that clair is with your ability to see spirit. I don't have the Google in front of me right now, but
clairvoyant.
When people have the ability to see the fourth dimension entities or like the nastiness, they're like, ooh, oh my God. Yeah, this person just picked up a hitchhiker, but they're inebriated or whatever. And you know, it's like his book, Ghost Among Us, was very telling. I read it a few times. I'm like, yeah, wow. I I'm kind of glad I'm not clairvoyant because I don't know if I'd have the stomach to handle that nasty stuff. Could you imagine? could you imagine walking to the grocery store and seeing some nice young man or nice young lady walking in there and then seeing this ugly, nasty troll just dragging its ass behind this person and just attached to it. It's like, oh, my God. I know that thing is human. And some people have the ability to see that.
I see people who have passed, but I don't see that.
I'm just picturing Ryan having that, or Ryan or Jody or me having that ability to see them, and we'd have to be like Teresa Caputo, right, just walking up to people going, excuse me, but there's a troll on your grocery cart. Can I just...
Do you realize that he's riding in the baby section of your cart? Funny.
He's eating the crackers. Yeah, no, you could totally go bonkers with an ability like that. It would drive me nuts too. And what would you do? You can't just like, if you see them, what, you have to help people, right? And oh yeah, you'd be in a rubber room before you knew it.
Well, that is our job. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It'd be like that old 1980s commercial. I'd walk up to her and say, "Pardon me. Do you have any gray coupon?" And I look at the troll, I say the same thing. Do you have any gray coupon?
Oh my God. It's fabulous.
Yeah. So
the last thing I wanted to look at was the concept of the tulpa. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
I have not. What is that?
Okay, it's an entity created in the mind. I'm reading this from, there's actually a website on tulpas. It's an entity created in the mind, acting independently of and parallel to your own consciousness. They are able to think, have their own free will, emotions, and memories. In short, a tulpa is like a sentient person living in your head, separate from you. It's created by... So it's like an entity that is created backwards, like it comes from you. It's one that is created in the mind of the person. Wikipedia's got a pretty good definition. It's a concept in mysticism and the paranormal of a being or object that is created through spiritual or mental powers, an emanation or a manifestation. So I don't know, like almost, I guess that darker form of voodoo where people send energy and hurt each other could be like a creating of a tulpa. T-U-L-P-A. It's an interesting kind of concept, and it's kind of like a backwards
entity. I think I've heard something about it, and it can act independently of you, I think.
Yeah, like I wonder sometimes if the, what are they called? I can't think of the word, noisy ghost, the poltergeist, are actually a form of that, where it's manifest in the overactive mind, usually the teenager in the house and whatnot. Oh,
yeah,
Ryan, you're
exactly
due for having
what I was
that.
Hearing in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, lucky
yeah,
you,
anyway,
Ryan.
That's, what's that?
Lucky you, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, you're going to
have
a full size experience soon. Well, who better to take care of it, though, right? He's your dad, and he's a Ghostbuster, so they got no problem
yeah.
there. Yeah. The yeah, so that's I think those are all the notes. I don't know if we've covered it, but I can't believe this, guys. We have no callers tonight.
Okay.
So I'm going to suggest that we give our information out. I hope somebody's listening. Wednesday night, you know, everybody's tired. It's hump day, and they're all probably watching the new shows on in the fall lineup, right? So please give our info anyway. So Ryan, Jody, do you want to just let people know how they can reach you?
Sure. Well, I'm Jody Higgins.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Jody Higgins. Yeah. You can reach me at connectedbyspirit.com. And I'm on Facebook as Jody Higgins, Psychic Medium.
Excellent.
All right.
So
yeah, all right. Yeah, the listeners can reach me at healingsthroughspirit.com or my email, healingsthroughspirit@gmail.com, or, you know, they can always find me on Facebook under Ryan Adragna. Yeah, so that's how that works. So pretty easy to find. Yeah, good stuff here.
Okay.
Good topic. I like this.
Okay. And that's fabulous. Yeah, and obviously, like, the reviews from that both of you are getting, like, if you guys need help, call one, Ryan or Jody, and get in touch. And the healing, the reviews I'm reading about the clearings and the healings, it's all good. So, yeah, there you go. If you want to reach me, I'm at lbleasdale.wixsite.com/Lynn. And Sue Fields Dalamonte, I think she's going to be joining us soon. She's at /SueF at the same address. We're all available on Facebook. And we have a Sacred Embers Facebook page. And there's a support group if you just need to connect with someone. You just need a little support. That's why we call it that. Tomorrow night? No, wait a minute. Now, Thursday night is the new night for Enter the Light, right?
Yes.
That show
moved
to Thursdays now.
Night, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And DC Love and Eileen Powers with Angel Antics have moved for now to Monday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific. And so tomorrow night is Enter the Light, and it's Jan Drake Bucky, Shannon Johnson, Ryan Adragna, and their guest tomorrow night is Natasha Scott. She's a fellow snowbird. She's a Canadian up in Canada, so we got some Canadian content going on, and because you know we're secretly plotting to take over the U.S., right? So yeah, so yeah, tune in
only secretly
again.
Though.
Only secretly, we're doing it through Butter Tarts and Beaver Tails. So
I knew it.
We're infiltrating with pastries that you guys don't know about, but that we will. The first one's free. So that's Enter the Light tomorrow night, Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific. So tune in, get a reading, and join their topic. So we're going to head out tonight, and if we get some callers tomorrow or next week, I can't talk. This is probably why we have no callers. My brain fell out. If you call in next week, we'll give you a reading and we'll have another topic, and maybe we'll even have Sue back with us. So until next week, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.